This week's newsletter describes research into trade-offs between usability and security in threshold signatures. It also summarizes an approach to convert nested threshold signatures into a single-layer signing group. Finally, it examines the extent to which data could be embedded in the UTXO set under a restrictive set of rules. Also included are our regular sections. These sections summarize a Bitcoin Core PR Review Club meeting, announce new releases and release candidates, and describe notable changes to popular Bitcoin infrastructure projects. News Optimal Threshold Signatures, Sindhura Saraswathi posted research co-authored with Korok Ray to Delving Bitcoin. The research looks at determining the optimal threshold for a multi-signature scheme. It explores the parameters of usability and security, examines their relationship, and shows how that relationship influences the threshold that a user should choose. By defining P of tau and Q of tau, and then combining them into a closed-form solution, they chart the gap between security and usability. Saraswathi also explores degrading threshold signatures, where early stages use higher thresholds that gradually decline in later stages. This means that over time, the attacker gains more access to take the funds. She also says that using Taproot, new possibilities may be unlocked through tap trees and more complex contracts, including time locks and multiple signatures. First flattening certain nested threshold signatures, Ximenes CPXJ posted to Delving Bitcoin to describe how to avoid using nested Schnorr signatures in some cases that have not been proven safe. For example, Alice may want to enter a contract with a group consisting of Bob, Carol, and Dan. Any transactions must be approved by Alice and at least two of Bob, Carol, and Dan. In theory, this could be done with a multi-signature, for example, Musig, where Alice provides one partial signature and a threshold signature, for example, Frost, is used to generate the partial signature from Bob, Carol, and Dan. However, Ximenes CPXJ writes that currently we have no proof that Frost in Musig is safe. Instead, Ximenes CPXJ notes that this example can be satisfied using threshold signatures alone. In this scenario, Alice is given multiple shares enough that she can prevent a quorum, but not enough that she can sign on her own. The other signers each receive one share. These uses include multi-operator state chains, users of LN who want to use multiple signing devices, and Ximenes CPXJ's LSP Enhanced Redundant Overpayments Proposal, see newsletter number 37. 2. Theoretical limitations on embedding data in the UTXO set. Adam Waxwing Gibson started a discussion on the mailing list about the extent to which data could be embedded in the UTXO set under a restrictive set of rules for Bitcoin transactions. The main new rule, which Gibson describes as appalling, would be to require that every P2TR output be accompanied by a signature proving that the output could be spent. Gibson attempts to prove that there are only three ways that rule could be circumvented to allow arbitrary data to masquerade as a public key. 1. Bitcoin's version of Schnorr signatures is broken, e.g., based on a faulty assumption. This is clearly currently not the case. 2. A small amount of arbitrary data could be embedded by grinding the public key, that is, generating many different private keys, deriving the corresponding public key for each, and discarding all. Private keys whose public keys don't contain the desired arbitrary data, encoded in a way that can be extracted. To include n bits of arbitrary data in the UTXO set in this way requires about 2n brute force operations, which is impractical for more than a few dozen bits, a few bytes per output. 3. Using a private key that can easily be calculated by third part. This is a form of leaking your private key. In the third case, leaking your private key could allow the output to be spent by a third party. That would remove the output from the UTXO set. However, several replies to the thread noted ways it might be possible to circumvent that in a sophisticated system like Bitcoin. A reply from Anthony Towns added, "Once you make the system programmable in interesting ways, I think you get data embeddability pretty much immediately, and then it's just a matter of trading off. The optimal encoding rate verse is how easily identifiable your transactions can be. Forcing data to be hidden has a cost. It makes the system less efficient. That leaves fewer resources for other users. In my view, that doesn't seem like a win." Bitcoin Core PR Review Club. In this monthly section, we summarize a recent Bitcoin Core PR Review Club meeting. We highlight some of the important questions and answers. Below, you can hear the questions and the answers from the meeting. Compact Block Harness is a pull request by CryptiQ. It increases fuzz test coverage by adding a test harness for the compact block relay logic. Fuzzing is a testing technique that feeds Quais I random inputs to code to discover bugs and unexpected behavior. The pull request also introduces a new test, only fuzzcapitatedir startup option, to boost the runtime performance of the test harness. The fuzz test sends send compt messages with high bandwidth randomly set. How many high bandwidth peers are allowed, and does the fuzz harness test this limit? More generally, why would a peer choose to be high or low bandwidth? For a high bandwidth peer, a compact block is forwarded without announcement. It is sent before validation is completed. This greatly increases block propagation speed. To reduce bandwidth overhead, a node selects only up to 3 peers. Those peers send compact blocks in high bandwidth mode. This mode is not specifically tested by the CMPCT block fuzz target. Look at create block in the harness. How many transactions do the generated blocks contain, and where do they come from? What compact block scenarios might be missed with only a few transactions in a block? The generated blocks contain 1 to 3 transactions. They always have a Coinbase transaction. They might also include a transaction from the mempool. They might also include a non-mempool transaction. Since blocks have only a few transactions, some scenarios may be missed. For example, testing short ID collision handling. Short ID collisions become more likely when there are many transactions. Review club participants suggested increasing transaction counts to improve coverage. Commit ed 8.113c4 sorts mDirty block index by block hash instead of pointer address. What non-determinism does this fix? The author notes this slows production code for no production benefit. Why can't enable fuzz determinism be used here? How do you think this non-determinism should be best handled, if not the way the PR currently does? The mDirty block index set is sorted by pointer memory addresses. These addresses differ between runs, which causes non-deterministic behavior. The fix provides a deterministic sort order by using the block hash instead. A runtime solution like enable fuzz determinism cannot be used because the comparator for a std set is a compile time property of its type and cannot be switched at runtime. Because this non-determinism affects the execution path, it misleads the fuzzer's code coverage analysis on every insertion into the set. The PR author suggests the AFFuzz white paper as recommended further reading on how coverage feedback with fuzzing works. Releases and release candidates. New releases and release candidates for popular Bitcoin infrastructure projects. Please consider upgrading to new releases or helping to test release candidates. Bitcoin Inquisition 20.9. One is a release of this Signet full node designed for experimenting with proposed soft forks and other major protocol changes. It includes the new minimum relay fee default 0.1 sat/VB introduced in Bitcoin Core 20.9.1, the larger data carrier limits expected in Bitcoin Core 30.0, support for op internal keys C newsletter 285 and 332, and new internal infrastructure for supporting new soft forks. Notable code and documentation changes. Notable recent changes in Bitcoin Core, Core Lightning, Eclair, LDK, LND, Libsec 2, 150, 6K1, Hardware Wallet Interface HWI, Rust Bitcoin, BTC Pay Server, BDK, Bitcoin Improvement Proposals, BIPs. Lightning Bolts, Lightning Blips, Bitcoin Inquisition, and Binanas. Bitcoin Core 30.3450. 3. Undeprecates the data carrier and data carrier size configuration options because many users want to continue using these options. The depreciation plan was unclear, and there are minimal downsides to removing the deprecation. See newsletters 350, 2 and 358 for additional context on this topic. Bitcoin Core 30.3504 skips the enforcement of truck checks during a block reorganization when confirmed transactions re-enter the mempool, even if they violate truck topological constraints. Previously, enforcing these checks would erroneously evict many transactions. Core Lightning issue number 8563 defers the deletion of old HDLCs until a node is restarted. It does not delete them when a channel is closed and forgotten. This improves performance. It avoids an unnecessary pause that would halt all other CLN processes. This pull request also updates the Listhooks RPC to exclude HDLCs from closed channels. Core Lightning issue number 8523 removes the previously deprecated and disabled blinding field from the decode RPC and from the onion message ref hook. It has been replaced by first path key. The experimental quiesce option and the experimental offers option are also removed because these features are now the default. Core Lightning issue number 8398 adds a cancel recurring invoice RPC command to the experimental recurring bolt 12 offers. This allows a payer to signal a receiver to stop expecting further invoice requests from that series. Several other updates are made to align with the latest specification, changes in bolts 1240. LDK 4120 clears the interactive if, ending state when a splice negotiation fails before the signing phase, if a peer disconnects or sends TX underscore abort, allowing the splice to be retried cleanly. If a TX underscore abort is received after the peers have begun exchanging TX underscore signatures, LDK treats it as a protocol error and closes the channel. Asterisk LND 10,254 deprecates support for Tor V2 onion services, which will be removed in the next 0.21.0 release. The configuration option Tor.v2 is now hidden. Users should use Tor.v3 instead. Want more? For more discussion about the topics mentioned in this newsletter, join us for the weekly Bitcoin Optech recap on riverside.fm at 16:30 UTC on October 14th. The discussion is also recorded and will be available from our podcast's page.